are beginning a series in this wonderful book of Galatians. It's written by the Apostle Paul. It's probably the first letter that he wrote in his career as an apostle. And the one central theme of the whole letter is this idea of the gospel. The gospel. We're going to be thinking about that more in a moment. But I wonder, what do you think is the hardest thing to get your head around about Christianity? What's the toughest thing to get your head around? Is it the Trinity, perhaps, how that works, how there can be one God but three persons? Is it perhaps the two natures of Christ? How can Jesus be God but a human being at the same time? Well, actually, what I've come to find over the years, in myself and in others, is that the hardest thing to get your head around about Christianity is just how one-sided it is. It's completely one-sided. It's all about what God does for us, and not at all about what we can do for him. And I can testify that in my life. I remember so clearly a conversation I had while I was living in Germany with an American friend over there. Well, we were living in Saxony. We'd gone for a cocktail, I think, probably, because we were students. And I was talking to him about Christian faith. And I'd been brought up a Christian, but I don't think at the time I really was a Christian, because I said to him, "Do you know what, Chris? I hope that when I get to the end of my life, I hope that if I've done enough good, God will let me into heaven." And he put down his cocktail and looked me in the eye and said, "Oliver, do you really think that's how Christianity works?" And I suddenly thought, gosh, I've never really thought about it like that before. Because I shared the same misunderstanding about Christian faith that so many have. That it's about being a good person. That if you're good enough, God will let you into heaven. And now the situation in the church in Galatia that Paul was writing to was this. Paul had come to them in probably about AD 40, not long after the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead. He preached to them the gospel, and many of them had come to faith, and they formed a church. But very soon afterwards, the church had been infiltrated by baddies, and Paul refers to these infiltrators at the end of verse 12 of our reading as the circumcision group. This group believed in Jesus, yes, but they also believed that to get right with God, it wasn't just about trusting in Jesus, that wasn't enough. You had to also follow the Old Testament commandments, which began with getting circumcised, unfortunately for us blokes. They also claimed that they were the true version of Christianity, because they said they had the backing of big name apostles from Jerusalem, like James, the brother of Jesus, Peter, Jesus' closest friend, and other apostle celebrities. And that's why Paul tells the Galatians this story about him and Peter in Antioch, which begins in verse 11 of our reading. So Paul was there, and there was a big celebrity, big name disciple, Peter. Can you imagine the excitement from the people in Antioch, from all the Christians there? This is Peter that knew Jesus. And verses 11-14 tell us what happened. At first, everything was going swimmingly. Jews and non-Jew Gentiles were getting on wonderfully, united by their faith in Jesus Christ, everything happy and rosy. But then some people from the circumcision group infiltrated the church in Antioch. They began insisting that Jewish Christians like Peter and Paul stop breaking the Old Testament commandments by eating with non-Jews. And everyone apart from Paul, everyone including Peter and Barnabas, these big names, began to separate themselves from Gentile Christians. Now, can you imagine being there? Can you imagine the pressure to conform from these strong characters of the circumcision party, and from the likes of Barnabas and Peter? He's the Lord's best friend, for heaven's sake. So imagine the guts that Paul showed by standing up to all of them. And not only that, but giving Peter himself an earful in front of everybody. Now, why would Paul do such a thing? It was because Paul saw what was at stake here. Now, I wonder what cause would be strong enough to make you stand up against a crowd. A crowd with well-known and respected people in it, even if you were in a minority of one. What would you feel strongly enough about that would make you do that? Well, for Paul, it was the cause of the one true gospel. And Paul knew this, that there is no more important question for a human being than the question of how we get right with the God who created us. He told the Galatian church back in chapter 1 that there's not a range of answers to this question. It's not like there's many ways to get to the top of one mountain. No, there's only one answer, says the Apostle Paul, and says the Bible. The only one answer of how we get right with God is the gospel message that we are completely separated from God because of sin. We can't climb the ladder to get close to him. We're completely separated because of the bad things in our heart. But that Jesus came to bear the penalty for that sin on the cross, to reconcile God the Father to us. And the way we appropriate the benefits of that saving death is simply by trusting. All we have to do is trust that Jesus' death takes away our sin. But remember what we said at the start? This one-sided message of Christianity is very hard to actually believe and live out. So it's not surprising that the Galatians came to believe that we have to contribute more than just faith in order to gain salvation. They started to believe that God will accept us if we try hard to be good. And we can fall into the same trap. That's certainly the way I used to think. But let's think about these words of Paul. To believe that we are saved by doing good works, whether it's being a good person or following the commandments, it's not acting in line with the truth of the gospel. Verse 16 of our reading that Gordon just read to us is absolutely crucial. It says this. Paul says this. We know that a man is not justified. In other words, a person is not made right with God by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And again, in verse 21, it's really strong words here from Paul. He says, if righteousness could be gained through the law, in other words, through being a good person, then Jesus died for nothing. Wow, strong stuff. What Paul's saying is this. The whole reason Jesus died was to take away from us the colossal burden of paying for sins and living the perfect life. By deciding to take this impossible burden back on ourselves, or by taking it upon themselves, the Galatians were effectively saying, it's okay, Jesus, I'll deal with sin. I'll deal with right standing before God, so really you needn't have bothered dying at all. But let's consider Paul's message. In verse 19, he says it's not possible to obey God's commandments. That's why we had that reading from Deuteronomy earlier on. God saying through Moses, look, I know that you're going to break all these commandments. I know that you're going to stop worshipping me and make a big golden calf and worship that instead. I know that you can't follow this moral law. In fact, the more we consider them, the more we realise how utterly beyond us they are. Paul said, through the law I died to the law that I might live for God. What does that mean? Well, Paul is saying, when I saw the impossibility of being as good as God requires me to be in the commandments, it's like that part of me that thought I could be good enough actually died. And that's a good thing, he says. Because the old self-righteous Paul had to die in order that he could accept what Jesus had done for him on the cross. In order that he could come to say, I've been crucified with Christ. In other words, the old me that thought I could be good enough died with Christ on the cross. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. These words are so important. When Paul says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, with all his heart, loves Jesus Christ. His life is defined by the fact that he has received the immense and incalculable love that Jesus has for him. That love shown in Jesus' death for him. Indeed, is the letting go of the desire to please God with our own goodness and the acceptance through faith of Jesus' provision of salvation that are the means by which we fulfill the greatest commandment to love God. If we find it hard to love God, it's because we're not letting Jesus do everything for us. And this is exactly why Paul was so upset with Peter. And why in the whole of Galatians he's so passionate about defending the one true gospel. Because it's only the true gospel which enables us to love God with all that we are. And anything else, any other religion or spirituality or alternative gospel just won't do the trick. I was looking the other day, of course, during the petrol crisis, about the fact that people were so desperate to fill up their cars that they would just grab whatever nozzle was free and fill up their car with it, even if they had a petrol car and filled it up with diesel or vice versa. So those guys whose job it is to go round and empty people's cars of the wrong fuel had their work cut out for a few weeks during that mad panic. People were filling up their cars with the wrong fuel and their cars broke. It's the same with our faith. The fuel of our love for God, the fuel for the passion and fervency of our faith, comes from trusting in Jesus' death for us and not in our own righteousness. It comes from accepting the gospel. It comes from accepting the one-sidedness of Christian faith. If we get right through God with our own efforts, we have no reason to love him. In that case, God is just simply an umpire, a referee, who makes the call as to whether we've made the grade or not. But if, like Paul, we trust in Jesus' death for our right standing before God, we have boundless reason to love him for all that he has given us. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that we don't try to be good people. Of course we do. But we don't want to get it the wrong way around. We don't try to be a good person in order to please God. We try to be a good person because God is already pleased with us, because we have faith in Jesus Christ. Trying to live according to the commandments comes after we trust that we're accepted before God eternally because of Jesus and not because we're good people. I really do think that this is the hardest thing to get our heads around about Christianity, because we're constantly trying to prove ourselves before God. We constantly think that if we're good enough, God will accept us, and if we're bad, God will curse us. It's not like that. God has done everything for us. Jesus has accepted all the penalty for our sin upon the cross, and all he does is reach out to us with this great gift of salvation. All we need to do is accept it and put our faith in him. And that's the road, the way, to Christian joy, to Christian peace, and to fulfilling that first and greatest commandment of loving God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. So if we're finding it hard to pray, if we're finding it hard to trust, to share our faith with others, then let's fuel our Christian life with the joy of the one true gospel. And let's now pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing gospel message, that though we were incapable of helping ourselves before you, incapable of earning our own righteousness, Jesus has earned it for us. We thank you that not only did he die the death that we deserve on the cross, not only did he take the punishment for all our sins, but he gives us his right standing before you, Heavenly Father. He gives us his perfect record. He gives us his record of fulfilling all the commandments so that we need not. So Lord, help us to live a good life, not trying to please you, but out of gratitude for all that Jesus has done for us. And Lord, we do want to live lives of praise, thanking you for the great gift of salvation that you have given us in this great and wonderful gospel that Paul was so passionate to defend. So give us that same passion, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.